Order, please. This is the Special Committee on Education. We have one bill we're considering today. It's Senate Bill 241. We have with us Senator Davis, Senator Olson, and myself, Stevens.
Good morning.
And Senator Wilken is with us by audio conference, and Senator Huggins is under the weather today. He's not feeling well. So, Senator Wilken, are you there?
Morning, everybody. I am.
Morning. Glad you could be with us. How's weather at home?
Yeah, a little brisk. Let's see.
50 below.
Minus 38 today. minus 23 today. A little nippy, but no mosquitoes. Working hard. Good
shape. Very good. Very good. Well, we're glad you're here with us, Senator Wilken.
Thanks for allowing me to call in. So, everybody, thanks.
Okay. And to my understanding, Senator Wilken, is that by audio conference, we appreciate your being involved and allow you to speak at any time and make amendments, vote on amendments, but I don't think you can vote on the final moving it out of committee. Is that you understand that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Very good. Okay, thank you, sir. Glad you're with us. And let's see, a couple of announcements. We are not meeting on Saturday. We're taking care of the business we have before us, and we're ready for Tim to introduce this bill for us. Tim Lamkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tim Lamkin, staff Senator Stevens. I'll be brief as we formally present this bill. Senate Bill 241 is another result of the task force, joint legislative education that met over the summer. As the bill reads, it's fairly straightforward. I believe the spirit of the bill is to bring the University of Alaska and perhaps especially the regions into closer dialogue with the legislature as regards teacher workforce development in Alaska. We have a number of folks online ready to launch the discussion, and with that I'd like to bring Pat Pitney with statewide planning and budget.
Okay, and thank you very much, Tim. And before we go to Pat, I want to recognize Chancellor Pugh. Glad that you could be here with us, the Chancellor of UAS, and Larry Harris, the Dean of Education here at UAS. Thanks both of you for being here. And Ms. Pitney, are you there?
Yes, Chairman Stevens, thank you very much for the invitation. For the record, Pat Pitney, Vice President for Planning and Budget at the University of Alaska. And I think on behalf of the President and the Board of Regents, we appreciate this opportunity. And Cynthia Henry was unable to join us today. She's our chair for the Academic and Student Affairs Committee of the Board of Regents. She sends her regrets, and she will be in Juneau next week, and will be prepared to talk to anyone individually about this and at later hearings. We think that a report like this is a very good opportunity for the university, and what we'd like to do today is just provide an overview of our activities related to teacher recruitment and retention, training, recruitment, and retention, and a little bit about the reports that we currently do. We feel like the opportunity for a formal report to the legislature would be a positive opportunity. Like we had talked about earlier, we think it could be easily accomplished with a request and could be done in a relatively timely fashion versus statute, but either way, we feel it's a great opportunity, and the more it can be done in conjunction with, or you know, in the same time frame as Department of Ed or other related units, like the Department of Ed, of course, superintendent. But I think ACPE and Department of Labor have information that and program activities that they could add to the overall scope of how do we increase the number of teachers in Alaska that are from Alaska. I think that's a real positive policy statement for this item. So in saying that, the people we have on the phone are really just to provide an overview and of course in the room there with Chancellor Pugh and Dean Harris, but to provide an overview of programs. So we have each of the deans from the Schools of Education at UAF, that's Eric Madsen, at UAA, that's Mary Snyder, and of course Larry Harris for UAS. And then with this is Diane Hirschberg and Lexi Hill, and they're the primary authors of the Alaska Teacher Supply and Demand Report that really hit this particular question directly. And then with me here in Fairbanks is Melissa Hill, who is a key person with the Alaska Teacher Placement and the mentoring program. After a major restructuring of our education programs in the early 2000 time period, they are all on the upswing, and to say that we could make a major change, say, in a, for instance, like doubling the number of teachers for Alaska would certainly take resources, but at this point, I think it's just a good idea to find out what it is that's being done and provide that awareness.
Thank you, Pat. Just as a personal side note, my oldest daughter received her MAT here in teaching from the university here in Juneau and is now pursuing a PhD in clinical psychology. So you must have enthused her in that area, and thank you for that personally.
Thank you
very much, Pat. I appreciate your comments.
And for the most part, what we want to do is just turn it over now to John Pugh, because it'll be easier for him to run the logistics of...
Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. Chancellor Pugh, if you'd come forward, please. And good to see you here this morning.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, it is a pleasure to be here this morning. This is certainly an area of great interest for me. I'm the former Dean of Arts and Sciences and Education at the University of Alaska Southeast and sort of the author or the creator of the Master of Art of Teaching program here at UAS, which I feel has done a great job for Alaska, certainly for Southeast Alaska, but we have graduates all over the state of Alaska. So it's a pleasure to be here, and I hope that we can really shed some light on what we're doing now and have a dialogue about what to do in the future about this situation. Particularly, as you know, in an area that in nursing and health, we got a wake-up call a few years ago from a national problem to the state problem of the fact that we did not have nurses. And the university came to the table together with hospitals and the nursing associations and others around the state to put together an enhanced nursing program throughout the state that could double the number of nurses. And we have been able to do that. So we have some experience in trying to attack these kinds of problems. We're doing that with engineering now. So it is a good idea to get to dialogue and to look at what are the things that are blocking us from getting the teachers that we need in Alaska, and so I really appreciate that. That said, if it's okay, Mr. Chairman, let's have the deans give brief descriptions of what they're doing now and where we're at, and why don't we start with Larry Harris, since he's right here in front of you and the committee.
Okay, thank you. Dean Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to talk about UAS for a little bit in terms of what we're doing with teacher education, I do appreciate the vote of confidence from your daughter. That's wonderful, Senator. As you know, we do offer for beginning teachers for initial certification, we offer basically three different programs. We offer a BA program in elementary education, which has grown significantly over the last couple of years. We, at various stages in the program, we have about 80 students right now in that program. Whether all of them will make it to the end of the program, that's always a flip of the coin, but right now we have grown it from in the last year and a half from about 40 students to about 80 students. Part of that has come from are allowing students to complete their program at a distance rather than having to be. We like them on campus for the first couple of years and then allowing them to go back to one of the Southeast Alaska communities and complete the rest of their coursework and their practicum experiences in their home communities. We also have we have three MAT programs, one in elementary education that has been historically has been a program that has resided here in Juneau. It's a one-year program. Students can finish the program. They start in the summer, end the following summer, and they leave. That program we are expanding next fall to also include Sitka and Ketchikan, and thus trying to work to double the enrollment in that program as well. We have a secondary education MAT program that we have a cohort in Juneau, a cohort in Sitka, and a third cohort that reside somewhere, from Craig to Homer to Non-Dalton to Wasilla. We have students in that program in a variety of places. And right now we have about 30 students. We started the year with about 33. We're down to about 30 just because there's always somebody that doesn't quite work out. And we're in the second, as we entered the second semester, we had some people that we had to make some changes with. But our goal there is to continue to grow that program, continue to increase the enrollments, and really to try to start targeting more and more with science and mathematics teachers who can be prepared in that program, because we know that that is also a shortage out there. We have a third MAT that is a distance delivered MAT, and we have students all over the state. That is not a one-year program. It's basically is a two-year program or a three-year program, depending on how rapidly a student wants to work through it. It's all in elementary education, and there are about 60 students in that program. Again, all of those students have bachelor's degrees and are earning their master's at this time. We also, and one I want to mention just briefly, we have a variety of other programs, including for experienced teachers, a reading specialist, an educational technology program, a math education program that is working with teachers in rural districts who are not highly qualified. I'll use the No Child Left Behind words. Are not necessarily highly qualified to teach mathematics, but they're in a mathematics situation, typically in a middle school, and we're providing with support from the Department of Education, providing mathematics instruction to those students. We have about 13 students in that program this year. But the one I really want to mention is our special education program and call special attention to it. We know that special education is a huge shortage in the state. And I just showed Chancellor Pugh our list of school districts where we have special education students, and I'll just hold it up for you. I'm sending faculty out to supervise these students in their practicum experience this semester. You would think we would all be Southeast Alaska. Well, looking at the list, you know that it cannot be the case. We have students from Kotlik, Bethel, Wasilla, Nulato, Cake, Northwest Arctic School District. There are 36 of these students out there preparing to be special education teachers. Most of them are already teaching in the classroom, but they're again becoming highly qualified as special education students. This has been, we didn't anticipate this. We changed our program a year ago from an endorsement only program to a Master of Education program. And when we did that, we more than tripled our enrollment in that program. And we anticipate to continue to see the same kind of growth as we move on in the next year. And I probably have used my 5 minutes.
I'm looking at it, yeah. Mr. Chairman,
it's hard to keep a dean quiet.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, how do you want to handle questions? Do you want to go through all three and then come back?
Well, I just wanted to comment first that I really appreciate the innovative program that here in Southeastern you've developed in education, and it's really remarkable. And I hope the rest of the university catches up with you. I've got to say that my daughter had a bachelor's in psychology from Gonzaga, and looked around the University of Alaska to see what it would take to get a teaching certificate, and found that in Anchorage it would have taken her several years to go back and take the necessary education classes, but she was able to do it in a full, very rigorous, I mean, I know she was exhausted and much more than she expected, the full year, including a summer, to get the master's here. So I think that's really remarkable, and I guess my question would probably not be of you, because you succeeded in doing that program. Is the university doing something like that in other parts of the state? And I maybe go back to to Pat. Is this MAT type of program being made available in other institutions in the University of Alaska?
Yeah, I think you'll hear about some very innovative programs as well when Dean Snyder and Dean Madsen have their 5 minutes to talk about the programs that they offer.
Great. Well, let's go right on to them then.
Why don't we go ahead to Dean Snyder, and she can report on what's going on in Anchorage and throughout the South Central area.
Dean Snyder, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you. Can we have, I'm echoing. We have addressed the special ed program and the duration of that it was so lengthy, and we do have a new alternative certification program that shortens the length of the program because that was not acceptable the way it was before. UAA has a large program, undergraduates alone. We had about 100 students that graduated last year for pre-service, and all together with graduate programs, it was 217 students that graduated with either pre-service or a master's degree in some kind of education program. We have our three undergraduate programs are elementary and early childhood, and then the MAT is the secondary, similar to UAS. 100% of our graduates that interned last year were hired by either MATSU or Anchorage districts before they completed their programs. We usually have about 40 or 50 interns who are, you know, elementary, middle school, high school, or early childhood in the Anchorage district, and in quite a number, not quite that many, but quite a few in MATSU as well. We also have partnership programs with Kenai and Kodiak, where we deliver the courses via distance, and students can stay in those community campuses and complete their degrees, and they do their internships locally. About 47% of our courses are delivered via distance, and we cover the state with them. We have graduate programs in special education, early childhood special education, counselor education, speech and language pathology, which is just, we do the courses to get students up to speed so they can go on to and take a graduate courses in University of East Carolina. And then we also have graduate degrees in education for principals and superintendents. We have the AEIN partnership grant that serves over half the students in the state, and we partner with 9 districts, including MATSU, Kenai, Lake and Penn, Lower Kuskokwim, Pribilofts, quite a number of schools. I think that's pretty much the basics of what we do. We've had steady enrollment increases over the last 3 years, and anticipate being able to help, you know, keep serving students.
Well, thank you, Dean Snyder. It's really remarkable how far the university has come in the last decade, and I really appreciate your efforts, particularly speaking personally, of getting out into the community campuses as well, and that sort of outreach that you're doing. Thank you very much, Dean Snyder. Chancellor Pugh, did we have someone else?
Dean Madsen, yes, okay. Is up in Fairbanks.
Not online at the time? Okay.
Oh, he's not.
Well, let us know if he comes back. This is Madsen?
Madsen,
okay.
Pat, is Dean Madsen with you?
He is not with me, so we assumed he was calling in from his office. That's okay. We've got Melissa here, and then there's also Diane
Okay. Well, let's go to the Institute of Social and Economic Research reports. And Diane, you were going to talk about the reports that you issued on the teacher preparation programs and where we're at in terms of the need and versus what the university is doing at this point in time. So if you could do that, that would be good.
Would you repeat the last name?
Hirschberg, Diane Hirschberg.
Hirschberg.
Thank you for spelling my name correctly.
Doesn't always happen, I suppose, Diane.
No, not at all. But I thought I'd do was provide a bit of an overview of what we have been doing as researchers here, and then talk just a little bit about our findings. And I'm hoping that you have a document that either includes our recent research summary on teacher turnover, supply and demand, or that you've got the link to pull that off of our website.
Let's wait just 1 minute. Ms. Hirschberg, do we have that in here?
Yeah, it's this one.
Okay, good. Yes, we do have that. Thank you.
So ICER has been looking at this issue of teacher turnover and teacher supply and demand for since almost the beginning of this decade. And there was an initial study that was published in 2002 by Bill McDermott and Lexi Hill and Eric Larson, thank you, that was an early look at this, was not as much comprehensive statewide data as we're working with now, but really showed us that we needed to be doing more work in this area, and also the potential for using existing data sources to understand what's happening in the state. And so with Melissa Hill, we worked very closely to develop collaborative relationships amongst Alaska Teacher Placement, the Department of Education, UA statewide, the Colleges of Education, including APU, and the Department of Labor, to develop a memorandum of understanding so that we could combine all of our data and really look comprehensively at teacher turnover, the supply that we are bringing in from outside, as well as the number of teachers we are producing within our program. And we are now in the process of putting out reports periodically, as well as responding to requests for data from these institutions, so that we're informing our own statewide studies, as well as the different College of Education initiatives and their accreditation efforts. In 2006, we produced a comprehensive report on teacher supply, demand, and turnover, and that has not been updated in report form yet. But instead, we've produced a series of memos and presentations in response to the needs of our colleagues in the colleges and also state agencies. Out of that report, we produced that four-page summary that you have. And there's also a PowerPoint that was recently done with the Colleges of Education to help them understand what's happening with their graduates specifically. So really, the key point right now, and look over the four-pager when you have a chance, is that we have a high turnover rate that is, of course, much higher in rural Alaska, and we do not, at present, train enough teachers within the state to meet the need in these districts. Now, one point that's really important to keep in mind is if we were able to reduce turnover significantly, we would be pretty close then to producing the number of teachers we need every year. We know from national as well as our own local studies that there's always an amount of turnover that's going to have to do with people's personal lives, moving out of state, changes in family status, and so forth. But in Alaska, we have a turnover rate that also has to do with any number of issues from working conditions, salary, and those personal issues, and some of those, if we really looked at how to address them comprehensively, we might be a lot closer to meeting our need within the state. And you can see we generally need to bring in about 800 new teachers a year. That's not including the teachers that are switching between districts or people that have taken a leave of absence to have a child or get another degree and come back. It's just 800 people new to the teaching profession within the state. And right now, we're meeting about 25% of that need with our in-state programs, although, as you heard, all of the programs are increasing their capacity and the number of graduates. And I'm just going to wrap up with a final point. One thing we haven't really addressed yet is the impact of recent policy changes around retirement, licensure, or changes in the national market for teachers, such as the fact that Alaska's salaries are declining relative to the national average salaries. We are right now putting together a proposal to do a study of these issues in collaboration with Alaska Teacher Placement
and with the Anchorage School District, as well as with the UA campuses. And one piece of this will be a statewide survey of teachers who are exiting the profession or exiting the state to find out why they're leaving. We are also going to do another comprehensive look at statewide supply, demand, and turnover this spring.
Well, thank you, Ms. Hirschberg. Well, that's a really interesting point, that if it wasn't for that high turnover in rural Alaska, we may be a lot better off than we actually are. And it always seemed to me, totally outside your responsibility, is if we could address the housing in the village as adequate housing for teachers, we might solve a lot of that problem, but not something to be talked about here necessarily, but certainly a big issue for school districts and boroughs to come to terms with. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Hirschberg, and back to you, Chancellor.
Well, one of the last places that, or last people that we'd like to have talk to us is the Director of Teacher Placement in the state. She can give you an idea of who applies, how we end up placing students throughout, our students as well as others who apply to the Teacher Placement Program, and that's Melissa Hill up in Fairbanks. And Melissa, if you will fill in the committee, that would be great.
Thank you, Chancellor Pugh, and thank you, committee members, and thank you, Chair, for having this opportunity to speak with you. I certainly applaud what this bill is looking at and the intent of this bill. As John Pugh alluded to, we work very closely with this issue on a daily basis. I truly believe that this is a complex issue, and if we're looking at addressing the issue of supply and demand and the teacher shortage that exists, I can tell you every year I have school districts that start the year without certified teachers in high-need areas. Many of them are calling me and asking me, do you have a special ed teacher in the wings somewhere or a math science teacher? And a lot of times we don't have those teachers that we need to fill the gap. So again, I applaud the effort of this bill. However, I think to simply look at putting more water into a bucket that has holes is not the best way to address any employment issue. Many of the policies that which Dr. Hirschberger alluded to are of a concern to us, and I simply would like to suggest looking at the impact of the portable retirement system that we have and what a five-year projection or a five-year study might look at down the road for us with regards to our workforce. Also looking at the current policies and regulations, again, what we're asking, what mandates are we putting on our teachers to become certified, reading courses, video. These are concerns that have been expressed by our own superintendents and personnel directors across the state. Looking at the cost of living in rural Alaska and the salaries and the trends in comparison to other employment opportunities in those regions. In addition, the housing situation where many of our teachers in rural areas actually have to share housing, limiting the pool to either a single male or a single female. So these are all issues that play on the supply and demand issue as well as recruitment and retention. I would like to applaud again the effort of this bill to take a serious look at the supply and demand issues. I would also like to applaud the university, who has demonstrated a great deal of support and effort to not only preparing teachers for Alaska, but also in developing programs that are focusing on recruiting and retaining teachers. More specifically, we have the Future Teachers of Alaska program, the PETAS program, and ANISA, which is housed at UAF. All of those programs are about supporting future teachers, getting them here into our schools of ed to become and consider teaching as a profession. And then secondly, looking at the development of the partnership with the Department of Education and Early Development. And thank you again for your support of supporting the Statewide Mentor Project, who works with first and second year teachers, provides them on-the-ground support in the classroom, on a daily daily basis with phone calls and emails and supporting over 400 of our beginning teachers is a huge, huge step forward in making sure that our teachers stay working in their schools. Those efforts wouldn't happen without the support of the state as well as the partnerships that are required to implement programs such as the Venture Project. So I applaud what this bill is looking at. I appreciate your time, and if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Appreciate your comments.
We do not have anybody else to present in terms of background data, and certainly would
Eric's
unless Eric, have you gotten online yet? We still don't have. Okay. so we don't have anybody to talk directly about Fairbanks programs. And Fairbanks actually has, I can talk a little bit, a number of programs, not only program on campus, but they have a program to reach out to Northwest, Western, and Southwest Alaska to actually, you know, provide teachers in those areas directly. And they have distance delivered programs to those areas, as well as placements in all those school districts, and provide support for the teachers or the future teachers in those areas. We also, all of the districts in Western, Northwest, Southwest have future teacher programs, which are been very successful. In fact, one of the things that we will be doing this spring, there will be a future teachers conference here, and all the young people from around the state will be coming. And we hope to have an opportunity that this committee, you know, could meet with those students to give you an idea of what we're doing to try to get students interested in the teaching profession at a very early age. Because it's not only getting that interest, that emotional commitment, it's also taking the right courses in high school so that you can be prepared. Because as you know, with the highly qualified teacher requirements, individuals, the programs have changed. It is harder, and it should be. We want the best teachers for our schools in this state, and that's a very important piece of this. And so that we will have those students here, and we will, maybe we can, Mr. Chairman, work with you to ensure that we can get those students here to meet with you with this committee, and so you can get an opportunity to see those young people.
Absolutely. We would really appreciate that. Well, thank you, Chancellor. It's fascinating to hear all the university is doing in this area and to be brought up to date. Senator Wilken, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Senator
Wilken was a member of the Education Funding Task Force, and actually this bill comes out of Senator Wilken's suggestions. So let's if you're ready, Senator Wilken, can you give us? Do you have any comments you'd care to make on the bill in front of us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thanks for asking. And I was enthused by all the things that are going on, and I think that's just a good stop for perhaps why we need to all stop and organize all this information. You know, over the years, we've all sort of tossed around the number that we use one-third, one out of three of our own, that would be an Alaska-born teacher that goes out teaches at Cape Cod when they graduate. And last year, President Hamilton said after further analysis, it looked like it was perhaps one in four. And of course, that's going the wrong way. And it just occurred to me and others that we need to focus the efforts of the legislature, the K-12 community, and our university on driving that number up. And whatever the number is, we need to know it, and then start a long haul process of perhaps a generation to get to where we're growing 50% of our teachers in state. And so, any Chancellor Pugh talked about the nurses program, and 8 years ago, President Hamilton, maybe 10 now, but he came to us and said, you know, you can't get a nurse in Alaska, and we're importing them, and it's costing us millions of dollars. And today, by anyone's analysis, the nursing program that the university hit straight on has been a success and continues to be. I'm not so sure we can't do the same thing with our teachers. And I think it's important, and I leave this up to the committee and to the K-12 and to the university, but I think it's really, really important that this not be just a four-page report that we get the beginning of every year and we look at it and say that's nice and put it on the shelf. I think this is important enough, and I think in the bill in line, I'll find it here a second when I come back to it, but we need to make sure that this is a report that is regent to legislature, and by regent I mean a person. I kind of, in my world, I think of the regents as the board of directors of that almost billion-dollar enterprise called the university, and the legislature is really the board of directors for the billion-dollar state budget, and we need to have a board-to-board discussion here, and face-to-face, as envisioned by a regent or two regents coming every year and talking about what we're doing to grow that number from 25 to 50. So I would hope that in a few minutes we'll talk about the bill, and I'll find where I had a suggestion in order to make that a little more
a little more strong. But I think that's the important thing, Mr. Senator Stevens, that we just we recognize how important this is over the next generation to grow our own and to get them out across all of Alaska and get a dialogue, obviously, from board to board, but also that pulls in the K-12 folks and what we can do better. It has been a struggle. I've been personally involved in it through my family and my efforts in K-12. It has been a struggle to grow our own and to grow quality and make sure that when it comes time for our school districts to hire, that the first place they look is at our university and not the last place. And so we're headed in the right direction, and I appreciate everybody's hard work, but we need to get it to the legislature so we become involved. At least once or twice a year, we become involved at the highest levels on what we need to do to make this a success, just as the nurses have been. And 20 years from now, we just might be 50-50, but we'll never know unless we do something different, because what we've done in the past hasn't worked. So with that, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Wilkin, and for bringing the issue up. And if you look on page 2, lines 5 through 7, the bill really does put the onus on the regents that they should prepare a written report and as to the administration disposition of money received under this section. So that's a very good point, and that's an issue. That's a group we're missing today. We have great respect for our regents, and it'd be good to have a face-to-face with them on this issue as well.
Senator, if I might, and I know I tried to speak with Regent Henry before today, and she is traveling down in the West Coast to a show, and so I wasn't able to talk with her, but, you know, that would be, and I think Pat said that she would be online had she not been traveling, but that, you know, that would have been the start of this dialogue. And I found the bill here. If I could just, on page 1, line 6, it talks in there about regions shall prepare and present an annual report. I might suggest, Mr. Chairman, that we may want to embellish that just a little bit on line 6 that as to when and where, so that report pinpoints to be done to some committee, and obviously education committees or HES committees or the finance committees, and it be done in person and during the legislative session. So that would make clear that we just don't intend to have this just a 4-page report that everybody looks at, nods their heads, and starts to think about next year without really thinking about results and what one can do for the other. So with that, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Wilkin. Well, that's a very good point you raise about the, right at this point, we're considering whether the legislature or the Senate will have a standing, and the Senate and the House have a standing committee, whether we'll continue with the situation at present where HES is, where education comes under HES, or whether there are special committees as we have now and as the other body has had at other times. So whatever the venue, it has to, what we're suggesting is that there be a face-to-face report during the legislative session in person. I think those are extremely good points. Let's go on to, we have somebody to testify. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, one thing that the university talked about yesterday, we had a audio conference, and I just want to make the suggestion to you, Mr. Chairman, and maybe Senator Wilkin. One thing that might improve this bill would be to say to make this report at the first session, because that gives gives 2 years to really do something if we come to agreement between the university and the legislature of what to do. Also, doing it every other year gives some time for things to happen, whereas if you do it every year, you may be looking, people may tire and say, well, you're reporting the same thing over and over again. So one of the things we thought about is maybe making a report at the beginning of the first session of the committee that gives us 2 years, and then so that would be each time every 2 years, and so that would be one possible suggestion that the university has.
So the way it reads now would be an annual report, and you're suggesting that in a 2-year session it be presented the first year. Would there be, is that because there would not be any enormous changes between each year? And
partly, they're definitely, I know in talking to the Institute of Social and Economic Research, their feeling is if you do it every year, it's very incremental. If you do it every other year, you get a little more timing. And the second piece to me, for sure, saying the first session is here we are in the second session, 90-day session. We don't have a lot of time to interact and work on it. If we do it in the first session, you've got two sessions to really work through if we have suggestions of changes, of resource needs, and so on. And that would be my reason for doing it in the first session of each.
Oh, thank you, Chancellor. And Senator Wilkin, if you give that some thought, I'd be glad to hear if you have any response to that. But before we do that, let's go to Mr. Alcantara, John Alcantara. Any other comments, Chancellor? Dean, thank you for being here. We are under the gun on time, so I want to make sure that we deal with this.
Thanks, John.
John Alcantara from NEA.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of Senate Education Committee. For the record, John Alcantara, Government Relations Director for NEA Alaska, representing 13,000 public school employees throughout the state. This is like a red letter week for us, being here for three straight pieces of legislation to support, so it's a good thing. And it's a lot of that quality work that was done this summer by the Joint Legislative Education Funding Task Force, and we certainly appreciate that. I guess I wish I could have been here for the entire testimony, but I enjoyed the testimony of Melissa Hill, who really deals in the front lines of trying to recruit teachers. And certainly this is a great idea, and I think that what was mentioned about policy changes around the portable retirement and some other issues are having a dramatic impact on the ability to recruit and retain, and that's part of what this report will be about. But overall, I just wanted to testify in support of the bill. Hope it can move along in the process. Look forward to the information that they have, and I know with the closure of Sheldon Jackson this past year, it's a few more trained educators that won't exist in the next year of the report. You mentioned rural teacher housing. It's been a priority issue in NEA Alaska since 1978. 30 years it's been on the books. We're working with the congressional delegation on trying to find some solutions for that very extensive problem that causes the turnover. But overall, I'm sure the report will show that the profession itself is a difficult one. 50% of the teachers leave in the first 5 years. And what I really enjoyed was the fact that there's going to be a statewide survey, or at least a thought of that, of exiting teachers to really find out, do the exit interview, and really go a little deeper into why folks are leaving Alaska to go back to North Dakota, Oregon, Missouri, wherever we hired them from in the first place. And I think that will be a valuable piece of the report. So in closing, in respect to your time, I just say the members of NEA Alaska support SB 241, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Mr. Alcantara. Comments from members of the committee? Any thoughts? I guess my intention would be, I think, to, if you approve, is to deal with these issues that we've heard about and consider a CS. So take some time to think about this a little bit, and I think we can move it out fairly expeditiously. I don't think it's nothing I want to hold at all, but I think we do need to address the changes of the thought of maybe just doing this the first year of a two-year session. Senator Wilkins' comments on where and when will be the meeting face-to-face with the regents. Of course, the regents do meet here every spring in Juneau in the first session, first year of the session. So that would be an opportunity. Any comments on that? Anybody? Are you comfortable with that approach?
Yes. Can you hear me? This is Pat Pitney.
Yes, Pat. Please go ahead.
Yes, I think it's really important that you want that either, whether it be the HES committee or the education committee. Senator Wilkins had noted the finance committee. I think one of the issues that the university faces is most of our discussions are only on budget, and the opportunity to talk about the programs on the ground and what's happening, sometimes we can't do enough of that. And so I really encourage you to make sure it's with the either HES or if there's an education committee at that time in the education committee.
Well, thank you. That's a very good point, Pat, and I think the chair of HES would probably agree that it should be both committees if both exist, but
if they exist,
right.
You know, they might not.
Right.
But this is going to go to the HES committee.
Yes, this bill will be going to HES, absolutely.
Yeah. Those changes that was recommended, unless you just want to hold it, how long are you going to think it's going to take for you to decide what you want to put in the new CS? If it's not too much. It could be done at the next committee of referral. That would give Senator Wilkins time to get his comments in and for you to decide. I like the every other year report. However, that wouldn't keep them from giving some kind of update on the off year. But the written report in its entirety would come at the beginning of the session and would give them 2 years and us 2 years to go over that report and make our recommendations for them to make the changes that we think they need to be made. So I'm ready to do either way, move it or have you hold it, as long as you're going to be bringing it back fairly soon.
Yes, I think the intention.
We don't have this on the House side, right?
Not yet.
We do?
Hasn't been introduced.
Is it moving?
There's a hearing. There's a hearing next Thursday.
Hearing on Thursday. We are meeting on Tuesday.
Wednesday.
No, I'm sorry, Wednesday. And we'd have a CS prepared at that time. Senator Wilkin, since this is all initiated in your mind, do you have any comments on what we've been talking about?
Yeah, thank you. And I think we ought to talk about whether it's a one-year or two-year. I think I can make compelling arguments why we need to at least start this every year to bring focus to it. But let us talk about that, and when we come back on Wednesday, we can perhaps have a little discussion about that.
Okay, thank you, Senator. And we have time scheduling. We have time on Wednesday. We don't have any conflicts.
Wednesday is the cost factor.
Cost factor, okay. Well, my intention would be to have a CS ready on Wednesday, and I think we can move through that pretty expeditiously.
Okay.
Thank you all very much for that really informative discussion. I appreciate everyone's contribution, and this matter will be back before us on Wednesday. With that, the meeting's adjourned.